Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masechet Bechorot Daf Yod Bet Amud Aleph, about to take a look at the fifth Mishnah in the first Perek, and this will be our last podcast for this first Perek of Masechet Bechorot. In Podin Lo Be'Engel V'Lo B'Chaya, the previous Mishnah we mentioned that you may use any sort of lamb or goat, male, female, etc., for the Pidyon Petah Chamor, but now we find out you cannot use bovines, nor can use chayot. Lo b'shchuta v'lo b'trefa, you can't use one that's already been slaughtered, nor with a trefa. Lo b'kilayim v'lo b'koi, which we dealt with in the sixth parak of Chulin, hybrid animals. For Rabbi Yazar matir b'kilayim, m'nei shuhu seh, v'oser b'koi m'nei shuhu safek. As we saw there, Rabbi Yazar is of the opinion that a kilayim, by definition, is a seh, because we follow the mother's identity, but not a koi, because it is a safek. Netanola kohen, once you give the animal to the kohen, in kohen rishayin lekaimo ad shefri set tachtav. Sorry, if you gave the chamor to the kohen is not allowed to hold on to him. He has to himself take a seh and designate it in lieu, although of course he keeps it. Now, matnitin mani, who is the author of Mishnah? Ben Bagbag hu, which is, Ben Bagbag is somebody we have not heard from very much, famous from the Mishnah and Avot. But here, detanya ben Bagbag omer, nemar kan seh v'nemar lahalan seh. How do we know that you have to use an ovine? Because it says seh here, Pidyon Petah Chamor, it says seh in the context of Korban Pesach. Malalan prat l'chol ha-shemot halalu, a very shortcut here, is just like in Pesach, all of these things are not included, chaya and egel, etc. Afkan prat l'chol ha-shemot halalu, same here. So if that's the case, malalan zachartu ben shanah, perhaps then we'll raise the stakes and say that Pidyon Petah Chamor has to be male and unblemished and a yearling, like a Pesach. Afkan zachartu ben shanah, tamadomar tifteh tifteh, it says redeem, and it says that word twice, riba. So that's a ribui, which says you can use anything to redeem. So, riba, filu kol hani nami. So if you're going to use anything, you could use all these two. The answer is, imken seh seh maya hani leh. Then what's the point of calling it a seh if you could use all of these? And what's the whole point of the gzerah shavat? So we use tifteh tifteh to expand, but seh seh to limit it to the ovines. Now, ibayalu, the question is, as was raised as follows, mahu lifto b'ven p'ku'a. A ben p'kua, if you recall from the fourth parak of Chulin, is a full matured embryo that's found inside of a mother that's slaughtered. According to Avilibur Meir, Loti Bailach, this is Meir, if you recall, said that it's a full animal, it needs its own shchita. So therefore, the Kavan, the Amar Meir, ben p'kua, ta'un shchita, sem al yahu, it's 100% said, can be used to redemption. The Rabbanon said it does not need a shchita, it's nitar agav shchitat imo. And therefore, So should we consider that the meat, that this animal is already like meat in a package, because it's not, it doesn't have to be slaughtered, and therefore he be killed, however. But right now it's running around, but you call it a set. So which is it? Marzutra mar ein podin. You can't use it. It's considered already dead. Rashi mar podin. So now let's see. Amar Rashi marzutra. So Rashi turns to Marzutra and says, Madatech, why do you think it cannot be used? The Yalfut mi Pesach, you learn it from Pesach, where Pesach ben Peku is no good. So Imalan Zachat ben Shana, then raise the stakes again, as we said earlier in response to in the Ben Bagbag Brita. Afkan Zachat ben Shana. The answer is Tifteh Tifteh Riba. So Rezutra's answer is Tifteh expands it again. Tifteh Tifteh Riba, Filu ben Peku Nami. So he said, so why not expand it to a Ben Peku, like I do? So Imkain Seseh Mayahanile. So he takes the Seseh component one step further. Not only does it limit it to ovines, but it also excludes the ben p'kua. Aliba d'rabon. And aliba d'rabon, everybody would agree, it's 100% a set. Ibayalu. Now here's another question, right? Mahu liftod beg nidmeh. Can you use an animal that doesn't look like its mother, and it's an ovine, but doesn't look like it? Aliba d'rabon liyezer lo tibayalach. After all, Rabbi Eliezer says, and he disagrees with Tanakam and says you could even use a hybrid animal. So, do you need to tell me that you could use a nidmeh, where the both parents are ovines, just the animal came out looking strange? Again, the question is only asked according to Rabbanan, who say kilaim cannot be used. Perhaps they limit and exclude only something where really the father was from a different type. But if the parents are both seyot and were ovines, and then the animal, the baby, just doesn't look right, then they would allow it. Odil maloshna, perhaps they would say in any case, it has to be of both parents of the same type and look like them. Which is it? Toshma. Parashi al damin eiz ein podin. We had that, we had the mention, similar piece earlier in the parak, but if a cow gives birth to something that looks like a goat, we can't use it. Implying, ha rachel shi adamine is podin. So the implication is that if it's a sheep, a ewe that gave birth to something like a goat, meaning both what the animal is and what the animal looks like are ones that could be used podin. Otherwise, why pick the para? So Mani, who's the author of that? Elim, Rabbi Lazar, Habakilayim Noim Parkinan. It can't be Rabbi Eliezer because he says even an outright hybrid could be used. Halav Rabbanan, he says it must be Rabbanan. And therefore, Rabbanan, you see, say that Nidmeh would work. Lo, Leolam Rabbi Eliezer. He gufa kamash plan de parashi eldamin eiz ein podin. Maybe it really is Rabbi Eliezer to tell me that you cannot use a parah that looks like an eiz. So lo te mazil abatre didei. In other words, you don't look at the baby, v'hai eiz mal yehu, and it's an ovine, it's a goat looking. Elazil batoime, look at the mother, v'hai egelhu, and therefore this thing is called an egel, and it cannot be used. So it's Rabbi Eliezer teaching you. Kilayim is okay, because it looks like a goat, and the mother was a goat, or a lamb. But if but even though this looks like a goat, the fact that its mother is a cow means it can't be used. So it really is Rabbi Eliezer, and we still don't have resolution as to Rabbanan's position on this. Toshma, the Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Ezu kilayim. What is a kilayim that is discussed in our Mishnah? Rachel shialdam mina eiz ve'aviv seh. So he says kilayim is when both mother and father are sheep, but the baby is an eiz. Aviv seh kilayim. That's not called kilayim. Nidmehu. That's exactly a nidmeh when both parents are sheep and the kid and the baby looks like an eiz. El eizu dami le kilayim neshavi rabban ki kilayim. So now we interpret his statement as really settling the issue. What is something that looks like kilayim that the Rabbanan equated to kilayim and forbade? Rachel she adam min eiz v'aviv seh. If both mother and father are sheep, but the baby looks like a goat, then they called it kilayim and they forbade it. Now, even though it's not kilayim. Now, lamai, what did they forbid it? Ili kodshim, if it's because of kodshim, mehechad might kilayim, mehata might nidme. The same thing that limits and excludes kilayim and designates it as psula mukdoshim, that same source would also limit nidmet. Titanya shor ochesev, o eiz ki valed. Shor ochesev is prat lekilayim. It has to be a full shor or full kesev, not from mixed parents. O eiz prat lenidmet. So the o there, that sets it as a separate category, and it excludes nidmet. So kilayim and nidmet get knocked out together. So therefore the statement that the Rabbanan equated nidmet, an animal that looks different fit to a kilayim, is not for kodshim, because that's already out. Il bechor, if it's from bechor, so we've already seen this, ach bechor shor, amarachmana achi hu shor, uvechoro shor. So the machlok, we have a glean rabbanon about what the source of this is, but we know that the animal has to look like its mother to be a kedusha bechor. El al maser, must be from maser behema. Tachat tachat mikodshim gamar, that I don't need, because I tachat ashevet. And the word tachat, which is used in kodshim, is therefore equated, so if maser behema has the same rule of kodshim, and nidmeh is already out. Ela lepetach hamor, must be there for petach hamor, to say nidmeh is out. Meaning, for seh, that doesn't look like its mother, is out. Of course, Rabbi Elazar would say it's in, but Rabbanan would say it's out. No, leolam lemaser, we go back and say no, it's maser. The uchigon sheyesh po miktzat simanim, if it looks a little bit like the mother, ma'udete mahavar avram imchor gamar, maybe we should equate maaser to bechor because of the word kol asher yavor tachat hashevet and ravarta, which is used in Shmot Yud Gimel, ravarta kol petarechem, etc. And therefore, what's the rule of bechor? The bechor is as long as some of it has simanim, then it is considered chayav. And therefore, kamash palan tachat tachat mikodshim gamar. So the thing that he was teaching was that we do not, when we have an animal that looks a little bit like the mother, but not fully, we do not compare it to bechor and say it's chayav in maaser behema. Rather, we compare it to kodshim and say it's patur from maaser behema. Ibayalu. So now the question was asked: Mahuli flok b'psuleha muktashin? Could you use a seh or an eiz that is nifsal because of one of the psulim muktashin, for instance, nearby, etc.? I'll leave Rav Shimon loti barilach because according to Rav Shimon, the Dema Damar Mutar Bahanah, Rav Shimon says that the petach hamor itself is Mutar Bahanah, so chulinu, this whole thing is chulin, and none of the restrictions of psulim muktashin apply, and therefore, what do I care if this seh was used for something nefarious or a zara or whatever? It's not a problem. Kitibari lachelib Rabbi Yehuda. It's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Asur Bahana, that the Petah Hamor is Asur Bahana. My question is, could the Seb Yipsul Mekdash came on Asur Bahana in Isur Chalal Isur? Since the Hamor is Asur Bahana, and then we were being Poda, that Isur in some sense is transferring to the Seb, and it says already Asur, so it won't work. But on the other hand, the pinyon doesn't really catch because the seh is not really a sur b'hana'ah. Afko yisur ba'almahu, it's just removing the isur from the petach hamor, it's not falling on the seh. So it's really a question of, are you looking at what's coming out of the hamor, or are you looking at what's falling on the seh, which is nothing? When we talk about psula mukdashim, we compare them katsviva chayal, you eat them like chayot. Matzviva chayal ein podin, just like you can't use them for pinyon. So therefore, just since the Torah has equated Psul Mekdashin to Chayot, and we can't use a Chaya, therefore, even though this animal was a lamb, since Psul Mekdashin, it cannot be used. So Hashta the Atid Lahachi, so once you've used that argument already, Rabbi Shimon Nami, Tzvi Vayalti Behu. So even Rabbi Shimon, who says Mutar Banha, would still have to agree that Psul Mekdashin are considered like a Chaya, and still can't be used. All right, so the question was asked, Ibayaluhu, Mahu Liftot Bevehima Shvi'it. Bemat shvi'it means an animal that was bought with perot shvi'it. So vaday lo tibaylach. If it's for sure perot shvi'it that was used, then there's no question. Lachilam rachmana. The Torah allows for shvi'it to be used, and its transfers to be used only for eating. V'lo l'schara, not for business. And this is business. This is a pinyon. Ki tibaylach safek. Question is if you have a safek shvi'it. V'li Rabbi Shimon lo tibaylach to lately safek. Rabbi Shimon doesn't have any issue of safek, because since Rabbi Shimon says there's no isur on the other, there's no such thing. Sorry, this is safek petach hamor. So he says, therefore, there is no issue of safek. Rabbi Yehuda, of course, says a safek is an issue. And therefore, in such a case, when it's a zachar and a keva, you don't know which one, you have to mafrish one, etc. We already determined that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. What would he do with behemat shvit? Kevan de mafrish tle v'hu la'atzmo, since in that case you're going to keep it yourself. La'achila karina be, that's called la'ochla, right? That you get to eat it. Odilma kevin the chamor lomafki isurei lo mishtari, but on the other hand, the chamor can't be used until you've been mafkia kischoradamas. So the pinyon, even though you're keeping both animals, the pinyon is like some sort of business, and that's not allowed with behemat shvi'it. Toshman ravchista behemat shvi'it ein podin ba et avadai, aval podin ba et asafek. Bingo, there you go. If you have behemat shvi'it, meaning an animal that was bought with perot shvi'it, you cannot use it, a sheep or a goat, you cannot use it to redeem Petach Hamor Vadai, but you could use it for Petach Hamor Safek, because you're going to be keeping them. And that's the assumption. Rav Chista, Behemat Shvi'it, Pturam Min HaBechorah V'Chayevet Matanot. So a couple other things about Behemat Shvi'it. There is no din of Bechorah, but you have to give Matanot. Pturam Na Bechorah, why? L'Chlam Rachman V'lo Lisrefa. After all, you have to burn some of the Bechor. The chaylev a chayev and matanot. Why lochla karina be? That's called eating. You're eating something. You give something to the coin. He's going to eat. Meitave haochel misat shvi'it ad shelohu machalata. If you have dough that was from shvi'it and you hadn't yet taken the chala, chayev mita. Vamai came on the ilu matamia bat sreifa. He imagine this. If you separate chala from isat shvi'it, if it became tamei, you'd have to burn it. So lochla marachman of lo the sreifa. So that means you really should say that Isat Shvi'it is exempt from challah, because if it became tamei, you'd have to burn it, and the Torah said you have to eat it, not burn it, when it comes to Shvi'it. So Shani Hacha Dichtiv L'Dorotechem. Mitzvah of challah is indicated by the word L'Dorotechem. It's for all generations, and therefore it must be kept in any case. So why don't we learn from there and apply it to Petach Hamor? Hatam ikar lachila, hacha ikar l'sreifa. Sorry, why don't we apply it to Bechor? Because the challah is eaten. You eat most of it, and the coin is what you give him. But when it comes to Bechor, much of it is burned on the Mizbeach, and therefore it is patur. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, netano la kohen. If you gave the chamor to the coin, he has to offer a separate seh, and he's not allowed to use the chamor until he does so, but he, of course, keeps it all. If the coin says, give me the chamor, I'll take care of it, you don't give it to him, unless the coin redeems it in front of you. Sounds like the suspicion, he won't do it. So chamorim are suspected of not taking care of the chamorim properly. Maybe that's only if we know that the guy is careless about this. But in a normal case, the default case would be that he'd be careful about it. He's going to be more heter. He's going to rationalize not separating a say, because, look, I keep all of it, what do I have to be mafrish? And therefore, the Kohanim, as a general rule, are suspected of not doing this properly. Therefore, the reality is you should not give them the petor chamor unless you see them redeem it in front of you. Okay, the next Mishnah, we have something a little odd here. This is the penultimate Mishnah in the Perek, and it ends, and then we have the last Mishnah as the end of the Perek without any Gemara. Hamafrish pidyon petor chamor umet. So let's say you separated the seh, designated the seh died. Lozomer chayvin b'achrayuto. He says you have to get another seh. Kechamesh slayim shalben, just like pidyon aben. If you set aside five slayim and before it got to the coin they got lost, you have to give them another. Ein chayvin b'achrayuto, kebidyon maser sheni. Chum say no. If the seh dies, you're done. You've separated it, designated, just like if you took money and transferred maser sheni to it before you got to shalem, the money got lost. In other words, is the issue about getting the value to the recipient, the Kohen, or is it the issue about removing the Isser from the original piece, like in Maser Sheni? So, they testified supporting Rabbi Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, that if the Petach Hamor, if the Pidyon died, then the Kohen has no claim. Made Petach Hamor, Rabbi Elazar may cover. What happens if the Petach Hamor itself died before redemption? Rabbi Elazar says you have to bury it. Mutar banato shel tlay, and you're allowed to use. Sorry, you're allowed. This is if you redeemed it, and then the petach chamor died, you're allowed to benefit from the sech. You don't have to bury the petach chamor. Utlay la kohen, you give the tlay to the kohen. What's Rabbi Elazar's reason for saying chayav b'achrayuto? Dichtiv ach padot tifteh, and it compares b'chor adam to b'chor behemat tmeya. We've seen this pasuk several times in our parak. So your chayav, just like the five slayim, as he pointed out in the Mishnah, therefore the same thing with pidyon petor chamor. Amar le'abaya, if that's the case, imah b'chor adam mutar b'hana, b'chor b'hemat me'ah mutar, and we've seen this several times. So Abaya turns to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and says, if that's Rabbi Elazar's reason, so he should say the b'chor b'hemat me'ah is mutar b'hana, just like a person is. Chitem achanami, but none, may petach chamor, Rabbi Elazar may yikaver. Rabbi Elazar is the one who says you have to bury it if it dies at the end of our Mishnah. So may yikaver lav dasur b'hana, doesn't that mean you can't get hana from? That's why you have to bury it, you can't use the carcass? Well, yikaver ki b'chor adam. You just bury it like a b'chor adam. El adam b'chor huda ba'ikvura, partial ba'ikvura, only b'chorot are buried, other people just drop by the wayside? What does that mean? V'yotan ra'od of Elazar b'Yisrael, she'ishtos fake petach chamor b'toch beito. He agrees that if Israel has a safek petach chamor, like a zachar n'kiva, doesn't know which one came first, sh'mafrish tlei alav u'shalo, you keep the tlei, right, which means there is no Yisur here. El amar rava, amar kra, ach pado tifteh liftiyah hikashti v'lo l'davar acher. So now here's the reason. That the pasuk says, ach pado tifteh, compares the b'chor adam to b'chor b'mat me'ah only for p'tiyah and not for anything else. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Elazar would say, yes, you're chayav b'achriyuto, but these other, the challenges, the other comparisons don't hold, like Yisur Hana'at. We have the following Mishnah. Arachin b'sha'atan u'pidyon ben achar shloshim yom. Pidyon petach chamor la'altar. Arachin have to be paid at the time that you make the erech, and then there's a typical bal ta'acher involved. Pidyon ben is after 30 days, and pidyon petach chamor is immediate. Pidyon petach chamor la'altar, is that true? Amini ein ba'arachin u'pidyon ben u'nizirut petach chamor pachot mishloshim. The number 30 is, the 30 days is the minimum for all of these things, including pidyon aben and including petach chamor. Umosifin ad olam, and go forever. Amar Nachman lomar she'im p'ta'o padui. What it means is that if you redeemed him, he's redeemed immediately. Ichlal debnoim p'ta'o eno padui. So if you redeem your son before 30 days, he's not redeemed. Va'it mar poden p'no v'tosh lo shemio amar b'no padui. Rav says he is padui, meaning at 30 days you have to redeem him, but if you redeem him after 2 days, it's okay. And therefore, when you say that 30 is the baseline, and you're explaining that that brayta, ein barachinu pidyon abenu nizirut petach chamor pachot mishloshim, means that you can't do it before that time. Well, that's not true with pidyon aben. It's not really true, because everybody agrees, even Rav agrees, that if you give the kohen the money and say, I want the pinyon to kick in right now, it doesn't work. It only works if you give it to him and say, I want it to kick in after 30 days. So 30 days indeed is the minimum, is the earliest date that you could do it. He's saying, no, 30 days means you have not violated, meaning with pinyon petach hamor, to say there's 30 days, means that if you don't redeem him for 29 days, you haven't had any violation. It's the 30 days that kicks in of not doing your due diligence. So he says, look, we have a brayta that says the mitzvah of pinyon petach hamor is 30 days. From that on, either you redeem him or you have to kill it. My love mitzvah lishoto kol shloshim yom. Doesn't that mean you have to wait 30 days? Lo, mitzvah lishoto kol shloshim yom means it's a mitzvah to redeem him for those 30 days. I mean, day one, day two. But when you get to day 30, you gotta fish or cut bait. You gotta make your decision. It shouldn't say either you redeem him or you kill him. It should be you redeem him or you violated it. The answer is Rabbi Eliezer, and we're now reverting a little bit and saying that the comparison of pinyon petach hamor to pinyon bechor adam is not just for pinyon, but it's also for the time frame. Rabbi Eliezer, who makes that comparison and says, therefore, yechayav achrayut, also will say that 30 days is the time frame. The Rabbanan don't compare the two at all. That's why there's no chiyuv achrayut, and also there's no 30 days. Okay, the last Mishnah, lo rotza liftoto. If you don't want to redeem him, or fo me'achorav v'korvro, you have to break his neck from the back and bury it. Now, mitzvah tapdiya kodemet mitzvah tarifa. So, if you have a choice between redeeming him or breaking the neck, you should redeem him. Shinamar im lo tiftev arafto. Meaning, if you don't redeem him, then you break the neck. So that gives precedence and priority. Mitzvah yirida kodemet mitzvah tapdiya. When a man owns a ha'ivriya, the ideal choice to happen at the point of her maturity is for him to marry her. If not, then she should be redeemed. And what this Mishnah is now comparing, and we're going to see two other examples of this, is cases where the Torah provides two options, but clearly prefers one over the other, and says, if you don't do one, here's the other you could do. So if you don't redeem him, you can break the neck. If you don't marry the girl, then you could have her redeemed. Mitzvat ha-yibum kodemet mitzvat chalitza. This is a sugi at the end of Yivamot, that the ideal is yibum rather than chalitza. Rishonah she'yum mitkavnim l'shem mitzvah. This, of course, the sugi of Abba Shoal, but the everybody agrees that originally, when their intent was really to keep brother's name alive, achshav she'yum mitkavnim l'shem mitzvah, now there's all sorts of concerns of marriage for other reasons, that they changed amru mitzvat chalitza kodemet mitzvat yibum, which means the ideal is chalitza, even though the Torah clearly says, do Yibum, and if you refuse to do Yibum, then you do Chalitza, and they call your name, etc. Nonetheless, our preference is Chalitza first, and if not, then you do Yibum. Mitzvat ha-ge'ula ba'adon, hu kodem l'chol adam, that the redemption of property, ideally, is with the original owner, and he's first, shenemar v'im lo yiga'el v'im kar berakecha. And then, it goes on down to other members of the family. We have completed our study of the first parak of Bechorot. Yetz Hashem will start with the beginning of Halokeach Ubar Paratoshel Goy, which is sort of an inverse of the first parak, in that it deals, not inverse, but a parallel to it, in that it deals with similar transactions, but now with Bechor Behemat Torah, and now we're going to start our study of Bechor Behemat Torah intensely in the second parak, in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a one.